Welcome to Thinking Critically About Is Christianity True? Podcast number 5. How should we evaluate the truth of the Christian worldview? My name is Bradley Bowen. I will be your host and guide for this series of podcasts on thinking critically about Is Christianity True? My educational background, I have a BA in philosophy, an MA in philosophy, I've completed all requirements for a PhD in philosophy from UC Santa Barbara, except for completion of my doctoral dissertation. Question 5 was, what is Christianity? Before we can rationally evaluate Christianity, we need to clarify what we mean by the word Christianity in this context. In podcast number 3, I examined 5 key claims about Christianity in order to clarify the word Christianity, what it means in this context. Question 6. Is there just one Christian worldview or many? Although there are many versions of Christianity, I argued in podcast number 4 that there is just one Christian worldview. Question 7. How should we evaluate the truth of the Christian worldview? After a brief review of the key conclusions from podcast 3 and podcast 4, I will discuss what is involved in evaluating the truth of the Christian worldview. Claim 4, a religion is basically a worldview. The doctrinal and philosophical dimension of a religion is only one of the 6 dimensions mentioned by Ninian Smart, but in my view, it is the most basic dimension of a religion. It is this dimension of a religion that makes a religion something that could be true or false. The heart of this dimension is a worldview, a philosophy of life. Thus, the most basic and most important aspect of a religion is the worldview associated with that religion. If the worldview is false, then the religion is false. If the worldview is true, then the religion is basically true. So when a Christian apologist claims that Christianity is true, what this means is that the Christian worldview is true. Christianity is something that could be true or that could be false, because the most basic and important aspect of Christianity is the Christian worldview, which is something that could be true or could be false. Christianity is not a relationship. Christianity is a religion, and a religion is fundamentally a system of religious beliefs, and the core of such a system of beliefs is a worldview. Claim 5. There are many Christianities. There are clearly many versions of Christianity. The major categories are Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and Protestant denominations. There are significant differences in religious beliefs and religious practices between Catholics and Protestants and Eastern Orthodox Christians. There are many denominations of Protestant Christianity, and those Protestant denominations also disagree with each other about various religious beliefs and practices. So it is true that there are many versions of Christianity available today. However, there's also widespread agreement on a number of basic Christian beliefs between Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox Christianity, and several major Protestant denominations. Here's a quote from ReligionFacts.com about Eastern Orthodoxy. Orthodox Christianity has similarities and differences with the 2 other large branches of the Christian faith, which are Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. The 3 share beliefs on certain core doctrines, such as the sinfulness of man, the Trinity, and the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's my argument for the claim that there is just one Christian worldview. First of all, the 4 basic beliefs of Christianity constitute a Christian worldview. So, if that's the case, then if the 4 basic beliefs of Christianity are accepted by the Catholic Church, by Eastern Orthodox churches, and by many major Protestant denominations, then There is just one Christian worldview. And, furthermore, it is the case that the four basic beliefs of Christianity are accepted by the Catholic Church, by Eastern Orthodox churches, and by many major Protestant denominations. Therefore, there is just one Christian worldview. Critical thinking and analysis. A basic skill and practice of critical thinkers is analysis or analytic thinking. Analysis involves breaking something down into its basic parts, examining and understanding the parts, and thinking about how the parts relate to each other and work together. The comparative religions scholar Ninian Smart broke religions down into six basic dimensions. I examined those dimensions and showed that the philosophical or doctrinal dimension was more basic than the other dimensions. The core beliefs of a religion constitute the worldview associated with that religion. It is primarily the truth or falsehood of the worldview of a religion that makes the religion true or false. The Four Noble Truths of Buddhism represent a logical analysis of the Buddhist worldview. I have used that problem-solving logical structure as a model for the analysis of all worldviews, including the Christian worldview. A worldview is a very general problem-solving scheme. It provides answers to basic problem-solving questions, such as these. What are the most important problems of human life? What is the root cause, or causes, of the most important problems of human life? What is the best solution, or solutions, to the root cause problem? And finally, how can we best implement the solution, or solutions, to the root cause problem? The Christian worldview, a summary. Question number one. What are the most important problems of human life? This relates to the idea of symptoms of a disease. And according to Christianity, that would be alienation or separation from God, conflict and disharmony between people, mental and physical suffering, disease, death, and in the next life, divine eternal punishment. Second basic worldview question, what is the root cause problem of what are, allegedly, the most important problems of human life? This relates to the idea of the diagnosis of a disease. And according to Christianity, the root cause problem is sin, wrongdoing, and disobedience to God, and the human propensity towards wrongdoing is the root cause problem behind separation from God, and conflict and disharmony between people, mental and physical suffering, disease, death, and it ultimately results in eternal divine punishment. Third basic worldview question is, what is the best solution to what is allegedly the root cause problem of what are allegedly the most important problems of human life? This can be thought of in terms of a cure for a disease. Out of love and mercy for human beings, God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross and to rise from the dead in order to provide salvation from sin, to atone for our sins, and to reconcile us with God, and to provide eternal life to human beings. That is the solution to the root cause problem according to Christianity. And finally, the fourth basic worldview question is, how should we implement what is allegedly the best solution to what is allegedly the root cause problem of what are allegedly the most important problems of human life? And this can be thought of in terms of a treatment plan for patients. Christianity asserts that if one repents of one's sins and believes in Jesus as the divine Savior of humankind, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, then one's sins will be forgiven by God, and the process of salvation from sin will begin, ultimately completing when Jesus raises the dead and gives eternal life in heaven to those who believed in Him. Wishful thinking and emotional bias versus critical thinking and healthy skepticism. This is a basic and important principle of critical thinking. A critical thinker is aware of the problems of wishful thinking and emotional bias and consistently strives to exercise healthy skepticism and to avoid evaluating claims and beliefs on the basis of desires and wishes or fears and revulsions as opposed to facts and reasons. Wishful thinking. Definition of wishful thinking: the attribution of reality to what one wishes to be true, or the tenuous justification of what one wants to believe. Here's a definition of wishful thinking for English language learners. I like this one. It's clear and straightforward. An attitude or belief that something you want to happen will happen, even though it is not likely or possible. Wishful thinking, a description. Wishful thinking is the formation of beliefs and making decisions according to what might be pleasing to imagine, instead of by appealing to evidence, rationality, or reality. Emotional bias. An emotional bias is a distortion in cognition and decision-making due to emotional factors. That is, a person will usually be inclined to believe something that has a positive emotional effect that gives a pleasant feeling, even if there is evidence to the contrary. A person will be usually inclined to be reluctant to accept hard facts that are unpleasant and give mental suffering. Important historical examples of wishful thinking and emotional bias. Alchemy provides us with three important historical examples of wishful thinking and emotional bias: the Philosopher's Stone, Elixir of Life, and Panacea. Alchemy is a philosophical and proto-scientific tradition practiced throughout Europe, Africa, and Asia. It aimed to purify, mature, and perfect certain objects. Common names were chrysopoeia, the transmutation of base metals, such as lead, into noble metals, particularly gold, and the creation of an elixir of immortality, the creation of panaceas able to cure any disease. In Europe, the creation of a philosopher's stone was variously connected with all of these projects. The philosopher's stone, or stone of the philosophers, is a legendary alchemical substance capable of turning base metals such as mercury into gold or silver. It also is called the elixir of life, useful for rejuvenation and for achieving immortality. For many centuries, it was the most sought-after goal in alchemy. The elixir of life, also known as elixir of immortality, and sometimes equated with the philosopher's stone, is a mythical potion that supposedly grants the drinker eternal life and or eternal youth. The elixir was also said to cure all diseases. Alchemists in various ages and cultures sought the means of formulating the elixir. Panacea. The panacea, named after the Greek goddess of universal remedy, Panacea, was supposed to be a remedy that would cure all diseases and prolong life indefinitely. It was sought by the alchemists as a connection to the elixir of life and the philosopher's stone. A panacea is also a literary term to represent any solution to solve all problems related to a particular issue. The term panacea is also used in a negative way to describe the overuse of any one solution to solve many different problems, especially in medicine. There is no philosopher's stone. There is no elixir of life. There is no panacea. Yet many cultures and civilizations, Chinese, Egyptians, East Indians, Africans, Arabs in the Middle East, and Europeans, pursued these things for many centuries. Why? There might be other factors, but part of the explanation is that people strongly wish and desire that such magical things exist. Wishful thinking and emotional bias propelled alchemy across cultures and across time for much of human history. The Christian worldview proposes a panacea. The Christian worldview presents Christianity as a panacea, as a solution to all or nearly all of the most important human problems. Critical thinkers are aware of the problems of wishful thinking and emotional bias and consistently strive to exercise healthy skepticism and to avoid evaluating claims and beliefs on the basis of desires and wishes, or fears and revulsions, as opposed to facts and reasons. Belief in a panacea is a classic example of wishful thinking and emotional bias. Critical thinkers therefore exercise healthy skepticism in evaluating the Christian worldview and strive to avoid accepting the claims of the Christian worldview on the basis of desires and wishes, or fears and revulsions, as opposed to facts and reasons. Now, the fact that the Christian worldview presents Christianity as a panacea does not show that this worldview is false. But for a critical thinker, this does raise reasonable doubt and suspicion about the truth of the Christian worldview. Some other religions and secular worldviews also claim to identify a panacea, so the Christian worldview is not the only worldview that raises reasonable doubt and suspicion for critical thinkers. Although the Christian worldview presents Christianity as a panacea, it does not promise perfect health, perfect harmony, and perfect happiness in this life, so it is less subject to disconfirmation by experience compared to more this-worldly panaceas. We have analyzed the Christian worldview in terms of answers to four basic worldview questions. Because there are four different pieces of Christianity on that analysis, that impacts how we should, ought to, evaluate the Christian worldview. It could be the case that the Christian answers to those four basic worldview questions are all false. They're all wrong. If so, then obviously the Christian worldview is false. And on the opposite extreme, there is the possible evaluation that we could arrive at that every one of the Christian answers to those four basic worldview questions is right or true. And if each of the answers to those four worldview questions is correct, then obviously the Christian worldview is true. So we know how to arrive at the overall evaluation of the Christian worldview based in those two scenarios. But there are 14 other possible permutations of truth and falsehood, or rightness and wrongness, because Christian answers to those four basic questions could be such that some are true, some answers are true, and some answers are false. Some answers may be right, others' answers may be wrong. And there are 14 different permutations of truth and falsehood that are possible when you have four different pieces or elements, each of which could be true or false. Now, I don't want to go through every single one of the 14 other combinations of truth and falsehood and make comments on them, but I am going to cover some groups of combinations of truth and falsehood and make a couple of observations, argue for a couple of observations. It would be helpful if you're looking at the PowerPoint. Slide number 24 has the truth table on it, and I've talked about case number 1 and case number 16, which is the all four questions being answers being false and all four answers being true. Those two cases I've discussed, and they're clear. But I'm going to now talk about the group of cases 12, 13, 14, and 15, 12 through 15. And in this case, just one of the four answers given by the Christian worldview is false and the rest are true. And here's the point I want to make about those cases, where most of the answers given by the Christian worldview are correct, but one of the answers is wrong. The Christian worldview answer to just one of the four basic worldview questions is wrong, then Christianity would fall seriously short of what it claims to be, namely a panacea, the best solution to the most important problems of human life. All it takes is for one of the answers to those four basic questions to be wrong for the Christian worldview to fail. And it might help to think of this in terms of the medical analogy. The four elements in the medical analogy are symptoms, diagnosis of the disease, the cure, and the treatment plan for applying the cure. If the problems identified and targeted by the Christian worldview, the supposedly most important problems, include none or only a small portion of the most important human problems, that is, if the Christian worldview misidentifies problems or chooses less than the most significant problems to attack and resolve, then the Christian worldview would fall seriously short of what it claims to be. It would not be a panacea if it misses most of the most important human problems and ignores those problems. So getting that answer to the first worldview question right is essential to the success of a panacea, of a good solution to the most important problems of human life. What if the Christian worldview identifies the basic, most important problems of human life correctly, or does a good job of that? However, the second worldview question has to do with root cause or root causes of those various most important human problems. What if the Christian worldview gets the root cause wrong? And since the root cause of the Christian worldview is basically sin, suppose that sin is not the root cause to the most important human problems. If that's the case, if Christianity got that root cause identification wrong, then clearly solving the problem of sin would not solve the most important human problems. So once again, if the Christian worldview is wrong on that second question, then it doesn't matter that it got the other questions right. That is, it doesn't matter that the Christian worldview correctly identified the most important problems. It doesn't matter that Christianity came up with a great solution to the problem of sin. If the problem of sin is not the root cause of all of the most important human problems, the most important human problems, then solving the problem of sin is not going to be of much use. It's not going to solve the most important human problems. Now let's move on to the third basic worldview question, which has to do with the cure for the disease, or the best solution for resolving the root cause problem. Now what if Christianity got the solution wrong, or the cure wrong? The cure, basically, that Christianity offers is the atonement, Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. That's kind of the core idea of the cure that Christianity offers. What if that cure is wrong? That is, even if the Christian worldview correctly identifies the most important human problems, even if the Christian worldview correctly identifies the root cause of those various most important human problems, if its solution to the root cause problem is a bad solution and doesn't work, then the correct answers to the first two questions don't really matter. If you fail to arrive at a cure or a good solution to the root cause problem, then you failed to resolve all the various most important human problems. Finally, the fourth basic worldview question has to do with implementing the solution. What's the best way to implement the solution, or what is a good treatment plan for the treatment of a particular patient? Once again, even if the first three worldview questions are correctly answered by the Christian worldview, so that it correctly identifies the most important human problems, and it correctly identifies the root cause of those most important problems, and it correctly identifies the cure or solution for that root cause problem, we still need to implement or apply or make use of that solution, that cure. And if you don't know how to properly utilize or apply or make use of that solution or that cure, then once again, you're not going to solve the problem, you're not going to cure the disease, and you're not going to, ultimately, you're going to fail at the project or the goal of resolving the most important human problems. My point is this. If the Christian worldview answers just one of the four worldview questions wrong, then the Christian worldview basically fails. It fails to be what it presents itself as, which is a panacea, the best solution to the most important problems of human life. And Christianity fails to be that panacea if just one of the four basic worldview questions is answered wrongly or falsely by the Christian worldview. That's one point. Now I'm going to talk about, if you look at that truth table with the various combinations of true and false in it, I've just now been talking about possibilities 12, 13, 14, and 15, those scenarios where you have just one false answer. And now I'm going to talk about scenarios 2 through 5. And in this case, most of the answers given by the Christian worldview in those scenarios are false, but one of the answers is true. What if the Christian worldview gets just one of the worldview questions correct, and the others it's wrong? Well, what I want to say is that, well, certainly Christianity would be at least partially true in that case, but furthermore, if just one answer is answered in a fully correct way by the Christian worldview, if one question, one worldview question, then that shows that there is some significant truths, plural, to the Christian worldview. And that's if just one of the four questions is answered correctly. So obviously, if two or three are answered correctly, then there would be even more truths contained in the Christian worldview. For example, if the problems identified and targeted by the Christian worldview include most of the most important human problems, and if the spiritual problems identified by the Christian worldview are among the most important human problems, namely alienation from God and the possibility of eternal divine punishment, then the Christian worldview would be partially true. And furthermore, some very important assumptions, basic Christian beliefs, would be true. For example, God exists. There is life after death. God cares about human behavior and or beliefs. And God is going to judge human beings for how they live their lives. Those are some important Christian beliefs. And if the Christian worldview just got that first, if its answer to that first question about the most important human problems was correct, was fully correct, then several basic Christian beliefs would be true. Now, what about the root cause problem identification? Suppose the Christian worldview got that correct. Maybe it fails to fully identify all of the most important human problems, but it gets the answer to the root cause, as in terms of the root cause, correct. So in that case, Christianity would again be partially true. Once again, if one of the root cause claims of Christianity is that it has the solution to some spiritual problems, such as the problem of alienation from God and the problem of the possibility of eternal divine punishment. So if sin is the root cause of those two problems, then that means several Christian beliefs are true. God exists. God cares about how human beings behave. There's going to be a judgment of human beings by God, and there's the possibility that that judgment could be a really bad one, like eternal divine punishment. and so on. So if the Christian worldview gets the second question answered correctly, fully correctly, then a number of important Christian beliefs would have to be true. What if the Christian worldview got the third question answered correctly about the solution to the root cause problem? Let's say that sin was not the root cause of the most important human problems, so that the Christian worldview got the question two wrong. Nevertheless, if the Christian worldview gets the third question answered correctly, then of course the Christian worldview is partially true, and furthermore, there are several assumptions involved in the Christian worldview about the cure or solution to the problem of sin, and those assumptions would include the following: God exists, Jesus existed, Jesus died on the cross, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to achieve atonement for our sins, and so on and so forth. So there are several basic Christian beliefs that would have to be true in order for the Christian worldview to be correct in answering question number three. If some of the answers provided by the Christian worldview to the four basic worldview questions are correct, but not all are correct, then it could be the case that several basic Christian beliefs are true, and also the case that Christianity is a failure. It fails to be a panacea. It fails to provide a solution to the most important human problems. Those are both possibilities that could both be the case. The Christian worldview, further analysis. So I've previously mentioned that analysis or analytic thinking is a basic part of critical thinking. I have analyzed the Christian worldview in terms of four basic worldview questions. The Christian answers to those questions are brief summaries of core Christian beliefs. A clearer understanding of the Christian worldview can be presented by expanding those brief answers to provide more details. For each one of the Christian answers to basic worldview to a basic worldview question, I have formulated four claims or assertions to present that answer in more detail. Okay, so now I'm going to read a more detailed analysis of the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview symptoms. This is the answer. This is the first question, worldview question, and the Christian answer to it. Okay. What are the most important problems of human life? Think of this in terms of symptoms of a disease. First, they're spiritual. Alienation or separation from God in this life. And in the next life, we face the threat of divine eternal punishment. These are some of the most important problems of human life. Second, physical. Injury, disease, and death are some of the most important problems of human life. Psychological problems. Sorrow, fear, pain, and suffering are some of the most important problems of human life. And finally, social problems. Conflict and disharmony between humans. Anger, hatred, cruelty, injustice, violence, oppression, and war are some of the most important problems of human life. The Christian worldview diagnosis. Number two, what is the root cause problem or problems behind the most important problems of human life? And this relates to the diagnosis of a disease. First, spiritual. Sin is the root cause of alienation or separation from God in this life and will ultimately result in eternal divine punishment. Physical. Sin is the root cause of physical death, injury, and disease. Psychological. Sin is the root cause of sorrow, fear, pain, and mental suffering of human beings. And social problems. Sin is the root cause of conflict and disharmony between humans, anger, hatred, cruelty, injustice, violence, oppression, and war. The Christian worldview, cure. What is the best solution to the root cause problems? Here we're thinking of a cure for a disease. First, out of love and mercy for human beings, God sent his son Jesus to be the divine savior of humankind. Second, God sent his son to suffer and to die on the cross in order to provide salvation from sin, to atone for our sins, and to reconcile us with God. Third, Jesus is God incarnate, and Jesus lived a perfect life of obedience to God so that his death on the cross could atone for the sins of humankind. And fourth and finally, after Jesus died on the cross and was placed into a tomb, God raised Jesus from the dead to show that Jesus was the Son of God and Savior of humankind, and to show that those who receive salvation from Jesus will one day be raised from the dead and given eternal life. The Christian Worldview Treatment Plan. Question 4. How should we implement the solution to the root cause problem? Think of this as prescribing a treatment plan for a disease. First, if one repents of one's sins and believes in Jesus as the divine Savior of humankind who died for our sins and rose from the dead, then one's sins will be forgiven by God and the process of salvation from sin will begin. Second, when a person repents and becomes a believer in Jesus, God sends the Holy Spirit to that person to help that person to obey God, to follow Jesus, and to become a truly good person. Third, Christians sometimes sin and disobey God, but if they repent of their sins and ask for forgiveness, they will be forgiven, and their relationship with God and Jesus will be restored. Fourth, so long as a Christian believer continues to believe and to follow Jesus till his or her death, that person will be raised from the dead and given eternal life in heaven. Okay, so that is a more detailed analysis of the Christian worldview that breaks down each of the four answers to the four basic worldview questions into a number of subsidiary claims. Namely, each answer is expounded in terms of four assertions or claims. So since we have four answers, each composed now of four assertions or claims, the Christian worldview has been analyzed in terms of 16 different assertions or claims. Closing remarks, the next podcast. In podcast number 6, I will consider questions 8 and 9. 8. Does the Christian worldview correctly identify and describe the most important human problems? And question 9, does the Christian worldview correctly identify the root cause problem that underlies the problems it claims to be the most important human problems? Thank you for listening to my 5th podcast of the series Thinking Critically About Is Christianity True? I hope that you will join me again for future podcasts as I continue to investigate this important question.